of wisdom. There are very, very few people in prepaid legal that have as much wisdom, knowledge, background, tenure, success in prepaid legal as the gentleman that we have here today. And it's been many, many, many years since we've been able to have him out here for a Super Saturday, and it may be a long time before we get him back. So take copious notes, ladies and gentlemen. Give it back up again for Mr. Mark Richards. You guys are awesome. Well, congratulations to all those that were just recognized. Boy, that's exciting. I did most of my work for the recognition. I love, the money's nice, but I love recognition. So if you weren't one of those that came up across there, maybe by the next event you can make a level advancement or be a top recruiter or top producer. It's easy to get recognized in a company like this, and I enjoy that. I want to tell you how excited I was to come to Salt Lake City and spend a few days here. We had a great briefing on Thursday night, had a great barbecue out at Dave's house last night. Great hospitality. I travel all over the country, and it's just you've got such an incredible leadership group here. Mark and his wife Leslie picked me up at the airport, gave me a year's supply of food as I arrived, and I guess that's a kind of a Utah thing. That was nice. Got my water supply as well, and just wonderful people. And you know, I benefit more by attending an event like this than anyone, because I get to hang around a room full of winners, and I look at you. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't here, but you're here. And so congratulations on being here and being part of the group that will move this company into the next stage of its life. And this is a very, very monumental time in our company's history. I'll talk about that in a moment, but I'm excited. I'm more excited right now than I've ever been. And I've been very excited in the past, and I'll talk about that. Okay, I wanted to, for those of you who might have missed my story this morning, let me just kind of give you a condensed version of my story, and so you kind of know where I'm coming from. And I know traditionally when we share our testimonials up here, they're supposed to be about a minute long, and I remember one time I was, you know, talking, and I shared my story. It took about 5 minutes, and a guy came up. He was like a junior associate, came up after the training, and he said, "Mr. Riches, I don't know if you realize this, but you're supposed to keep your story to 1 minute, and you took about 5 minutes in sharing your story." And I said, a little taken back, you know, but then I said, "I don't know if you realize this, but for every $1 million you've earned in the company, you can add a minute to your story." So, and at that time, I had earned over $5 million, so I was right on track. So I might take 7 minutes today. But as I was introduced to prepaid legal at age 28, I was really hungry for something. I was working hard. I had owned some businesses, but I had never made much money. And I was really at a point where I needed something that really worked. And when I saw that guy that did that enrollment make so much money, $3,300 in 15 minutes, it just gave me a shot of confidence. And just seeing these people come across the stage this morning and hearing what they're doing right now in this economy, top producing and top recruiting, should give you a shot of confidence that this could be an opportunity that's real. And I was skeptical, like a lot of people, and I was nervous. I know my wife wasn't really sold on it necessarily. I had to write a check, you know, to get started, and we weren't necessarily in an investment mode financially. But I did that. I took some faith and got started, and you know, it was the very best thing I ever did. Within a month, we had made $11,000. That's the number one way to get a spouse involved. So, some of you might be struggling getting, you know, I hear that. They come up and say, "Well, I'm trying to get my wife or my spouse involved in it." That's it. Go make $10,000. It works almost every time. They'll be wearing the pin and everything, excited about it, and take them on about 10 trips and stuff like that. Bring home $1 million every few years. They are very supportive at that point. So, it just transpired, it changed our life so much. We started making money for the first time, really. I'd never up to that point in my life made $11,000 in any month. I was making an average of $1,500 a month, and all of a sudden I get a taste of it. But it wasn't just luck that, you know, I might have got lucky that first sheriff's department, but it gave me the wind beneath my wings to just keep going. And the next month I made ran another 100 sales. And kind of the thought I had was I made $10,000 in 2 days selling that sheriff's department. And I said, if I could go do that every month, I'd have the whole month to kind of mess up. I could mess up 28 days of the month and only have to get 2 days like I just did. And it wasn't killing me to do those 2 days. I mean, I was excited. I mean, when you're making thousands of dollars a day, I mean, you're exhilarated. I was fired up. I was excited. I could have stayed up all night. I mean, and then the next month I made another, 11,000, 12,000. And within a few months, I was hitting over $20,000 a month in income. As I said earlier, it took me about 4.5 years to earn my first $1 million with the company. A really great thing happened when I got the state account, but there was a transition I was going through. I had been attending these events, the conventions, which are critical. I've never missed an event, never missed a Super Saturday event, never missed a major convention ever. Here's why, because at every one I've picked up things that transpose my business that make me more income. And so if you've not yet registered for the Dallas event, I'll talk about that in a minute, but it's going to be a major event. You cannot afford to miss it. But anyway, I started plugging into the event, started reading. When you're making more money, you have more time. And that's kind of puts wealthy people at a disadvantage because they have time freedom. A lot of us in this business have a lot of time freedom. Yesterday, I spent about 4 or 5 hours reading. You know, most people don't have 4 or 5 hours on a Friday to read. They're at work, running the rat race, busy as they can be. And so it does get kind of amazing because you spend more time reading, which makes you stronger in personal development, and your philosophies become different. And all of a sudden, you can make more money because of what you read and what you studied. And that's kind of where I was. I knew I was making a lot of money selling memberships. I knew I was helping change lives of those members I sold the plan to, like Gabby was talking about. That was rewarding. But what I really got excited about was building a team, because it had changed our life so much financially. I knew that other people were out there struggling just like I was. There were still people in apartments. I knew that because I saw apartment complexes. I said, hey, they can't be making a whole lot of money because they still live in an apartment. So I knew there were people that were exactly where I was, probably in a worse shape than I was, maybe unemployed, with a family, struggling. And I knew that I really owed it to them to go out and start recruiting and building a team. That's what motivated me to move from selling, which I was doing very well at, to recruiting. So at the beginning of 1999, I started to make that transition. And in fact, I had built a team up to that point. I was earning about $8,000 a month in income. So that's about $100,000 a year from overrides off my team. So that might sound like a lot, but I had just really started, you know, getting my team together. I had a lot bigger plans for a team than that. And the beginning of 1999, I was at a unique situation because I could finally go full-time in recruiting. Because once I had made, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 a month in income off my team, I was like, I can do that full-time. I don't no longer have to go sell. And I remember I was excited about that, and all my goals for 1999 were, you know, go recruit everyone in the world and expand across the country and break 5,000 EDs, you know, whatever. It was just crazy. My goals were all about building a team. And just about the time I put that in, implemented that plan, the state of Louisiana contacted me, and I had been working that group for a couple years, and they said that you've been approved for payroll deduction for the state of Louisiana, and you can now, offer your services to 65,000 employees. And so I thought, so I took my goals for recruiting, kind of threw them away, and I was like, well, you know, that's network marketing anyway. I really didn't want to do that. And I went back into kind of more of a sales mode and did that for that year. And it was interesting. That was a great year. I made $488,000 during the year of 1999, mainly focused on selling. Definitely raised the bar in my team. 1 month I made $62,000, wrote 500 memberships. So I'd have someone on my team call and say, hey, Mark, I had a really good month, wrote 100. I said, 100? I wrote 500. You know, it was really great leadership because it didn't matter what they did. I was the number one producer. You can put this in your notes. Number one producer 11 out of 12 months in 1999. So 11 out of the 12 months, 1999. Now, don't put this in your notes. I was not the number one producer for 1999. and I know that sounds impossible, but and it's still strange to think about it, but a single mom from Mississippi, Beth Taylor, who's one of our group trainers down there, actually beat me for the year. So every month we were neck and neck, but I beat every month. 11 out of 12 months I was number one. Had it in the bag. Had 200 cells ahead of her when we moved in November. The end of November we moved to Tennessee to our ranch, and I had it. I mean, I was 200 cells ahead, and somehow during the month of November, which is, you know, actually the month of December, she gathered 300 plus cells and passed me, and I was watching every day. And I didn't even have a license in Tennessee, so there was not, I wasn't even in a sales mode. And but I believe what it was, up to that point, there had never been a man as number one. And I think she had all the women in the company send her membership apps to push her up to, because she called at the end of the year. She's like, I did it. I'm number one. I beat you. And I'm like, who cares, Beth? No one even looks at that. Woo-hoo, you know. But no, I was really proud of her, but once I moved to Tennessee, it did give me a transition that was important because I no longer had groups that I could service or memberships that I could write. I mean, I could have went and started opening groups, but I didn't. Another thing happened during that year where I stepped out and really led. I mean, I was in a high production every month. My team really stepped up, and by the time I had finished that year, just in 1 year, my income in overrides off my sales team had doubled, and I was earning over $20,000 a month in overrides off a team. And it gave us a comfortable lifestyle, and I started building. I mean, just a thought, when I moved to Tennessee, this is just 5 years after joining the business, I owned two homes in Louisiana at that point. I owned a house across the street that I'd paid cash for, and I owned our house. And I bought a house in Tennessee, and it was a $425,000 home, and I put $225,000 cash down. So, I mean, I was making some big money, and it's $225,000 cash. When I showed up to put that down payment down, they thought I was a drug dealer in Cookeville, Tennessee, because they're like, no one has that kind of money. Well, and they probably still think that today, but because there's people coming to my house times getting boxes of stuff. And in fact, I know my neighbors thought that at least the first few years. And I tried to deliver stuff to them, make them feel a little more comfortable. But I was actually in Miami, Florida. We were going on a cruise once, and one of my neighbors called me on my cell phone, and I didn't even want to tell him that I was in Miami because that's such a drug hub. It would have kind of locked his mind in on it, so I didn't answer the phone. But anyway, I bought a tractor for $20,000. These are just checks I was able to write. That was a tough year, too, because back then you could only have $100,000 in one of your bank accounts. The FDIC only guaranteed accounts up to $100,000. And I would never have imagined that would have been one of my challenges, to have to open another checking account because you have too much money in one account. It's no longer secured by the FDIC. Now, they've raised that to $250,000. Now, so that's not such a big issue, but you know, I never imagined living in that apartment that 5 years from now I'd have to be opening up new accounts to put money in so that it was secured. I mean, it's just silly stuff. So we had a lot of trials and trouble doing all those things, and then I really got focused on building. I understood the power of leverage. I understood the power of passive income. I had read up to that point hundreds of books, many times, read a lot of, or listened to a lot of audio tapes, things that really changed my philosophy. I had a burning desire to help other people, and so that's my goal today, is I'm just full-time serving others. I don't do it for the money anymore. I have enough money that I could retire very easily, but I'm here, and I'm here in Utah, and I'm here all over the country because I care about other people, and I want to give them an equal chance, just like I had. Someone threw me a rescue line 17 years ago. It was a very nice rescue line, pulled me onto a yacht, and I've stayed on the yacht ever since, but not everyone is getting that, and so I really I work hard. One of the things that drives me and keeps me working hard is to help other people and help them, one of my personal goals now is over the next couple years to develop at least $100,000 income earners on my team. Eventually, I'd like to have 1,000. That would be kind of a nice thing to be able to, you know, pass on with, knowing that I helped 1,000 people in my organization earn $100,000 a year. And again, there's never been a better time than right now. I want to really stress that right now is, I'm more excited. I now woke up at 4:30 this morning. I was working on this training. I am more excited right now than I've ever been. And I have a lot of reasons to be excited. Let me give you a few of them. Number one, this is my checks. I just want to give you an example. That's my checks in June of 1999. That's a long time ago. That's over 11, 12 years ago. That's 1 month, my daily deposits from prepaid legal, totaling for the month $62,000. Look at that last week, $4,900 on Monday. That's not a bad way to start the week. And let's just say you got excited getting a big check and you spent it all. It's okay. Next day you get a check for $9,268. Have you ever spent some money and didn't mean to? It's okay if you're making this kind of cash flow. At some point, you cannot spend the money this fast. My wife was trained. Wednesday, $8,300. Thursday, $3,100. I don't know what happened on that day. The thing kind of fell out. It's like, oh my gosh, only $3,000. My wife's scared. You know, it adds a lot of fear when your check drops in more than half. Luckily, Friday at $7,000 again. Now, my wife spends, she loves spending money, and I love her to spend money. I just give it all to her. She takes care of the bills and all that. And she was actually, at Christmas time, she lost her credit card. It's actually stolen. And I found out who had stolen her credit card. But I never turned him in because he was actually spending a lot less than she was on the card. So I just said, I'll just leave it the way it is. I said, Jennifer, if I wasn't a millionaire, would you still love me? And she said, I'd love you, but I'd miss you. So that's another reason I have to keep working. I was excited when I earned my $100,000 ring. I was definitely excited when I earned my first $1 million in the company. I was excited when I earned my second $1 million, my third $1 million, my fourth $1 million, my fifth $1 million, and my sixth $1 million. And in a few months, I'll earn my seventh $1 million. I'll be excited then. I was excited when I got a check in 1 month from the company. The check shows $90,000, but it was actually $95,000. They had added it up. I corrected that with them. But $95,000 in a single month on a recruiting contest. That month, my income was over $138,000. That I was excited then. I was excited when I won a free car, a Ford Mustang. Got the keys handed to me by my friend Wilburn Smith there in Ada, Oklahoma. Had to drive all the way to Ada to get the car. But I wasn't excited about that, but I was excited to get a free car, get it to my son. I was excited when my younger brother, 14 years younger, he's been here at your Super Saturday events, became the youngest millionaire in prepaid legal history. When he earned his $100,000 ring, when he earned his $200,000 income level. I was excited when my mom earned her $100,000 ring. Those were exciting times for me. I mean, I sat on that front row, watched them cross the stage. That was exhilarating. I was excited when I went to the Ada Golf Tournament and won last place. That's our last place, our team. That's my son and my brother. And I was excited when I went to Cancun and Punta Cana and all the trips, the 9 Players Club trips that I've been on with Prepaid Legal. Those were wonderful times. I mean, things that I really enjoy. And I was excited when I went to the home office and stayed up in the executive suite. This here is the entire suite right there. That's all a living quarters, and that was my room. My bathroom was about this size of this room. I was excited when Harlan Stonecipher and Shirley, his wife, came to my home in Cookeville, and we had 500 people show up for a barbecue. My wife wasn't very excited, but I was excited. And I was excited when I started creating ring earners on my team and millionaire club members on my team and seeing success spread throughout an organization that I had very little to do with. I just opened the door for some of these folks and they came in and took advantage of the opportunity. But I have never been more excited than I am right now. The future growth of this company will be unlike anything we've ever experienced in the past. With MidOcean Partners showing up, the leadership that they bring to the table is a million times different than what we've ever had. And the way I best describe it is in the past 40 years, as I kind of said in the briefing, they've paid out this, over $2 billion in income to people to generate 1.5 million memberships. And I really believe that they will double our membership base, and we will double our membership base in the next few years. So let's say it takes 4 years. What we've done in 40 years, we can do in 4 years. Why? better timing in the market, more sophisticated marketing tools. They showed up and they said, well, you guys don't have a training department. We've never seen a company that doesn't have a training department. Said, well, if you give us a training department, we'll do better, you know. And they're adding that. The reporting, we're already seeing, I mean, they're not even announced some of the big stuff they'll do in Dallas. We're already seeing almost daily things that help our business get better. I mean, this is a very exciting time. And I believe all the income that's been paid out in the last 40 years will be compressed down and paid out again in the next 4 years, so that every person in this seat, every one of you, have a chance to become financially independent in a lot shorter amount of time than it took most of us to do. So I'm excited about that. Let me put it in Utah terms. You are in the right place at exactly the right time. Okay. And I think all the leaders here would concur with me that this is a very exciting time. Even though we're in one of the worst recessions in history, there's literally people in our company making more money right now than they've ever made. And that's pretty exciting, because as this recession, whatever it does, as it hopefully improves, everyone's income will improve even more. But I believe that the recession should be helping us right now. The economy puts a legal burden on people. People are facing some of the biggest legal hurdles of their life. Divorce and foreclosures and bankruptcies that are at an all-time high. As I mentioned earlier, speeding tickets are definitely at an all-time high. And those are services that we offer in our membership and should provide value to people. So I've worked very hard on this training. I spent more time on this Super Saturday training than I have on a lot of trainings. But I take the responsibility very seriously, because you came today, took time away from your families and your life to spend some time here to learn. I was trying to figure out, you know, what would I share in an hour that could change lives. And I was trying to think, what was the biggest impact I had in my business? I like to go back. I like to think back, okay, when I was just getting started, what were the things that helped me become a $100,000 earner? What were the things that helped me become an executive director my first month? And I've never not been an executive director. What were the things that helped me go to platinum my eighth month in the business and be platinum now for 190 consecutive months? What were the things that helped me create millionaire club members on my team? And so I tried to, as I was studying, putting this together, I spent maybe 20, 30 hours. I got up at 4:30 this morning working on it again. And so here, I'm excited to kind of roll this out to you. And I understand I'm going to talk fast. I got some things I'll read. I got the laptop in front of me now, which is nicer than behind me. But I was doing this training one time, and I'm going to try and condense it down. But I was doing this training one time, and I was talking fast, but I was only about halfway done, and a guy got up and started walking out of the training. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, where are you going?" He said, "I got to go get a haircut." And I was thinking, well, you could have got a haircut before the training. He said, "I didn't need one." And then I realized that I probably need to talk a little faster and speed it up a little bit if people's hairs are growing during my training. So, okay. So, let's talk about the secret to success. What is it that makes people successful in this business? And I understand that there's lots of areas of success. Success, we talk a lot about financial success, but there's a lot of other areas that are more important than financial success. You have your physical success, how physically healthy you are, your spiritual success, which I put at the top of the list, financial success, relationships, your social skills and things like that. All of those involve around success, and each area of success has an effect on the other area. So if you're off in one area, it's pulling the other areas down. So you cannot expect to be way off in one. And that's why finances do assist in other areas, because if you're working so hard and you can't keep yourself physically fit, and all of a sudden you get in a business like this and earn passive income and leverage your time, you get more time freedom. Now, I'm not the best example of someone that's put that to good use, but the point is you have more time freedom to do these other things, to build on your relationships, to spend time. I mean, and I think you understand that. So each area has an effect on other areas. But what is the secret to success? What is it that makes a person successful? What is that secret ingredient? Could it be desire, want, or need? We could test it out right here. How many of you desire to earn $100,000 a year? Okay? So pretty much 100% of the group. And if we did it at a big convention, 10,000, it'd be about, there'd always be one kind of weirdo there. No, I'm not going to do that. But most people have a desire to earn. How about this? How many of you want to earn or want to become an executive director? You know, and hit the top of the pay plan. Most of us agree there. How about, how many of you need to earn $100,000 a year? Or more. A lot of us need. Well, that is not the secret to success, because if wishes were fishes, we'd all have a fry. And the least powerful word is the word want. Wanting something does not get us there. If that was true, we all have the desire, we all have the want, and most of us have a big need. Dave, you've met people in your business that have a bigger need than anyone I've ever met, right? And you say, why wouldn't he do it? Because he's got such a need, and so that's not the secret. Wanting it is not enough. Here's how James Allen says it in the book, As a Man Thinketh. Not what they wish for and pray for do people get, but that what they justly earn. Their wishes and prayers are gratified and answered only when they harmonize with his thoughts and actions. I like that word, thoughts and actions. We're going to come back to that. Here's another way to say it. To have the dreams desired, you must what? Sow the seeds required. There's an action word. You got to do something. You can't just dream about it. You can't just think about it. Well, could it be techniques? Now, a lot of you came today and said Mark Rich is going to do training, and he'll probably share some techniques and some systems and some ideas. And I could. A lot of my trainings are focused on that. But I'm here to tell you that is not the secret to success. Here's how I know. I was on a cruise ship to the Bahamas with 31 of the millionaires of prepaid legal. So all of these people had earned $1 million. So you could say they were somewhat successful in the business. And we were on a cruise ship paid for by the company. And we're going to the Bahamas. And we're all sitting around talking about these things. The techniques, the systems, and the methods. And Dave Savula was there. He was seasick. But there was others that they're talking about their systems and techniques. And here's what I learned. They're all different. There wasn't one person up there that had this exact same technique. They all had their own little spin on it, their own little way. They all used the system, but they had their own techniques. It's kind of like if you look at that map of Salt Lake City and look at that little red dot. Is there more than one way to get to the red dot? Yeah. Now, there's some highways and interstates you could take, especially if you're coming down from St. George, it'd probably be better to take an interstate. You could also drive, walk, crawl. You know, there's lots of ways to get to places. Some are faster, but there's lots of roads that lead there. So to spend a whole lot on technique, time on technique and systems and scripts, that's the most common question I get when I travel around. What do you say? What do you do? What do you do? How do you do it? None of that really matters. Let me give you an example. I want to illustrate this. If I came to you today and I said, hey, my car's on fire. Out in the parking lot, my car's on fire. How many of you would risk your life to help me save my car? A few people. Well, thank you. Now we need to do another training on life value. Life is up here. Cars are down here. They're not actually on the life value chart. So you wouldn't ever want to risk your life to save my car. Even though I might be a nice person and you want to save my car, don't risk your life for a car. But let's up it a little bit. I come running in the room. I say, hey, my car's on fire in the parking lot. And there's two kids trapped inside. Now, how many of you would jump to the rescue and help get those kids out of the car? Let's up it one more thing. I come in, I say, hey, there's a car on fire in the parking lot, and your two children are inside. Now, how many? I mean, all of us. I mean, it doesn't matter. Everything. Now, what's the technique and system and method you're going to do to get those kids out of the car? Never even thought of it, right? Here's why. When your why is big enough, the how-tos no longer matter. You just get there. So if you can work on your why, and you can work on your philosophy of why you're doing something, when it's big enough and bright enough and sharp enough, none of the how-tos really even matter. So could it be the economy? I mean, a lot of people think it's the economy. That's the key. Well, not really, because we have a lot of people making a lot of money in this economy. I'm not going to say it's better in this economy, because there's people that don't have a lot of money. And there's people that are unemployed right now, so you can't sell them an employee benefit because they're not an employee. I mean, it does have an effect, but there's more people right now looking for income opportunities than ever before. there's more people downsizing and laid off, and so that opens the door on the recruiting side of our business better and brighter than I think it's ever been. So it's not the economy. What about your education, your background? These are things that people point to as the key to success. What about what other people think you're worth? Do those really affect? I've got a short video clip to kind of illustrate that point.
Dismissed from drama school with a note that read, "Wasting your time, she's too shy to put her best foot forward." Turned down by the Decca recording company, who said, "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out." A failed soldier, farmer, and real estate agent, 38 years old, he went to work for his father as a handyman. Cut from the high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. The teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything, and he should go into a field where he might succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Fired from a newspaper because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas. His fiancée died, he failed in business twice, he had a nervous breakdown, and he was defeated in 8 elections. If you've never failed, you've never lived.
All right. So I promise you this, your background, your formal education, your prior accomplishments have very little to do with who you can become and what you can accomplish in this business and in your future. That's good news to me. That was great news for me showing up 17 years ago, that none of that really mattered, because if that mattered, I didn't have a good chance here. So what others think about you or think that your worth should have absolutely nothing to do with who you become and your success in life. You have to learn, one of the skills I think you learn is to shield yourself from that, to protect yourself from what others think. So the answer that I think that has a lot to do with your success is your philosophy. So I want to spend a few minutes today and talk about philosophy. And I don't know of anyone that I've met ever that does a better job explaining this than Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn says your philosophy is simply an accumulation of all that you know. Okay, so everything that you know up to this point in your life forms a philosophy. It gives you a direction. What you don't know, he says, to clarify a few things, what you don't know will hurt you. You know, they say what you don't know doesn't hurt you. No, what you don't know will hurt you. And ignorance is not bliss. Okay? And so what I want to do is let you listen to a quick little segment from my friend Jim Rohn, the late, great Jim Rohn. One of my favorite things I ever did was flew down to New Orleans. We had moved to Tennessee, and I flew my two sons, Brandon and Josh, down to a Jim Rohn, one of his last events that he ever did. We sat right on the front row. All of us had our journals. And he actually used my sons a couple times in his training, and it was just this man has really transformed my life. I mean, I use his information, and he's taught me about the importance of a philosophy. And in this just couple minutes, he's going to talk to us about a philosophy.
Exceptional life has a strong philosophical foundation from which all creative ideas and actions are born. In this dynamic session, Jim illustrates the difference between a strong and weak personal philosophy and how each is directly related to one's ultimate destiny of success or failure.
Philosophy, the major determining factor in how your life works out. Philosophy. To form our philosophy, you gotta think. You gotta use your mind. You gotta process ideas. And this whole process over a lifetime, starting way back here when we were children, schools that we've attended, our parents, our experiences, all this stuff that we've processed by the thinking process helps to develop our philosophy. And in my opinion, each person's personal philosophy is the major factor in how your life works out. Here's what I called it in that last presentation when I was here. It's called the set of the sail. Each person's personal philosophy is like the set of the sail. Now, I used to think of the circumstances that ordered my life. If someone would have asked me at age 25, Mr. Owen, how come you're not doing well? Pennies in your pocket, creditors calling, nothing in the bank, behind on your promises to your family, you live in America, 25 years old, got a beautiful family, every reason to do well, and things are not going that well for you, what is wrong here? It would not have occurred to me to blame my philosophy. I mean, it would not have occurred to me. Say, well, I got this lousy philosophy, and that's how come I got pennies in my pocket and nothing in the bank, and things aren't working well. That would not have occurred to me. I found it much easier to blame the government. Much easier to blame the tax problem. I used to say taxes are too high. Top tax rate when I first started paying taxes, 91%. Back then, when your income reached a certain level, all your income over that, 91%. So I used to say, that's too high. Now, the top tax rate's about 33%. But people are still saying what? Taxes are too high. See, but you can't use that anymore. If it's gone from 91 to 33, how could it be too high? Come on. I threw all that old excuse stuff away. Some people found it, though, and they're using it these days. My old list. I used to blame the traffic, the weather, I used to blame circumstances. Right? People say I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too old, I was raised in obscurity, raised on a farm, parents of modest means, all this stuff. If you had asked me, how come you find yourself here, Mr. Owen, age 25, living in America, land of abundance and opportunity, pennies, zero in the bank, not doing well, creditors calling, it would not have occurred to me to blame my philosophy. I found it easier to blame the company policy. I used to say, if this is all they pay, how do they expect you to do well? So I figured that, you know, my future was going to be tied to what everybody else was arranging, the economy, and, right, interest rates. I used to say things cost too much. That was my whole explanation, not my philosophy, until my teacher taught me better that this is where the problem was, my own personal philosophy.
I could see some of you knew his words kind of before he said it. That's great. But, you know, new people, some people have never heard that. And that little information changed the way I thought, just like it did for him. So Mr. Rohn says it's not the wind that determines where you go, but the set of your sail. Okay? We're all in a little tiny sailboat, and we get to adjust our own sail. The same wind blows on us all. There's a poem that was written that kind of talks about that. It's called The Set of the Sail. It says, but to every mind there openeth a way, a way, and a way. A high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between on the misty flats the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low. And every mind decideth the way his soul shall go. One ship sails east, and another west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails, and not the gales, that tells the way we go. Like the winds of the sea are the waves of time as we journey along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that determines the goal, and not the calm or the strife. I love the way that poem illustrates that point. Your philosophy sets the course for your life. Your philosophy is the root of your attitudes, your actions, your habits. Your philosophy got you here today, which is an action. And if you come often to these type of events, you'll form a habit. Let's kind of look at how that works. So your philosophy is kind of the foundation, the root of it all. And your philosophy, all that you've learned, all that you've read, and all the information that you have forms this philosophy that gets you to do and creates an attitude. So you had an attitude to get here today. It was an attitude that said, I'm going to Super Saturday. Now, some people didn't have that attitude. They said, I'm skipping Super Saturday. Or I'm doing this instead of Super Saturday or whatever. But your attitude said, no, I'm going to do it. Because you're a winner. This is a room full of leaders. Your attitude created an action. That was all based on the root of it, your philosophy, the things that you've heard and read and studied, and we don't know where all that comes from. It's different in every person. Every person's philosophy is a little different. But it creates an action. If you do an action long enough, what happens? Habits form. Yeah, good or bad. So some of us have bad habits, some of us have good habits. It's really a good point to try and correct some of the bad habits with good habits. And eventually, here's a quote from Dallin H. Oaks, says, desires dictate our priorities, priorities shape our choices, and choices determine our actions. The desires we act on determine our changing, our achieving, and our becoming. There's another way to, and then the lifestyle at the top. So every one of our lifestyles is created by these things here, with the root of it all being our philosophy. James Allen says, people imagine that thought can be kept secret, but it cannot. It rapidly crystallizes, I love that word, crystallizes into habit, and habit solidifies into circumstance. So people imagine their thoughts or their philosophies can be kept secret, but they can't be. They solidify in a circumstance. Things that shape our philosophy. Let's talk about this for a minute. I'm sure some of you have heard this, but I want to hit the points because here's the great news. We can change our philosophy. We can put different inputs into our life and over time change our philosophies. And that is the experience I've had in the last 17 years. The reason I've made so much money and had success is my philosophy's changed. I promise this, my philosophies are not the same today that they were when I started. They've changed a lot of in a lot of ways. And these are four things that shape our philosophies. Number one is the books you read. And isn't that great news that we can shape and change? Right? I mean, what if it was like, Dave, you're stuck with whatever you got? You know, God created you that way, and now you're stuck with it. That just wouldn't be fair. That would be depressing. Because everything you have now is all you're ever going to get. You can't become better. You can't improve. And some people have bought into that theory, which is totally the opposite of truth. You can change. You're not a spider. I mean, you're not a tree. You can move. We're human beings. We have the ability to change. And one way to change is the things that we read have a huge influence. Let me share just a few of my favorite quotes from some of these books. People do not attract what they want, but that which they are. As a man think, I've read this book a little over 100 times now. It's just, and Jim Rohn, excuse me, not Jim Rohn, who gives that book out? Paul Meyer, Paul J. Meyer, who passed away the same year that Jim Rohn did. We lost some great philosophers there, but Paul Meyer said that he attributes, in the front of that book, he says, I attribute most of my success, the fact that he's earned over $1 billion in his life, that he's given away in his lifetime over $500 million. That's nice to be able to give away $1 million, but it's real nice to give away $500 million. What a great statement. And he says he attributes most of his success in life to the fact that he's read James Allen's As a Man Thinketh over 200 times. And he's given away tens of thousands of copies of it to his organizations. So people do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. Desire is the starting point of all achievement. So we got to have that desire, not a hope, not a wish, but a keen, pulsating desire that transcends everything. Think and grow rich. Every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed on an equal or greater benefit. Once you understand and know that, you're not upset at when something bad happens because you know with it carries something that's good and of equal or greater benefit and value. Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never the result of selfishness. That was a transition I had. When I first started, I was like, I got to earn $100,000 a year. And it was about me. It was all about me. I mean, I wanted to make some money. What really transformed my income is when I started thinking about others. And a lot less about myself and my circumstances and what my needs were. And I started caring a lot about other people and what they needed. My income exploded. I learned that from Think and Grow Rich. Maybe the fourth or fifth time. That's a $100 book in my home. So, you know, Dave Hall gives away 50 cents for Tooth Fairy. But we give away. Do you pay less or more? It's like, Dave, a quarter is not a lot of money nowadays. So. I'm just kidding. Now I lost my train of thought. That's a $100 book in our house. We have some $50 books, have some $25 books. Slide Edge is a $50 book. I love paying my kids incentives to read those books. It is so powerful. Like, Think and Grow Rich is the study of the 500 most successful people in the world. So why not study that book? How many of us want success? Most all of us, yeah. Study the book. the study of the, it talks about how they think and what they do and so forth. Jeff Olson's book, The Slight Edge. Every day and every moment you get to exercise choices that will determine whether or not you will become a great person. Every day. We're shaping that. The slight edge is in action. Greatness is not something predetermined, predestined, or carved into your fate by forces beyond your control. Greatness is always in the moment of the decision. And feeling sorry for yourself and your present condition is not only a waste of energy, but the worst habit you could possibly have. I like to read that to a few people on my team. You can close more business in 2 months. This is, again, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends. You can close more business in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. And on and on and on. I mean, I could go on and on. I've read books, a lot of books in the last 17 years. It's blessed my life immensely. The things you hear shape your philosophies, and I've got one more segment here from Mr. Jim Rohn, and I just want you to sit back and listen. This may be time to close your eyes and just listen to him talk about some of these things and think of the power of hearing this. You saw my lawn that I mow. It's about 7 acres. I mow. I've got a big mower, about 7 foot, zero turn John Deere. I got a speeding ticket on the other day. But so it only takes me 2.5 hours to mow our entire property, but at full speed there. But I love mowing my lawn, not because I like the speed of that mower or anything, but that's my personal development time. I've got my headset and my little iPod going, and I'm like, sometimes the lawn doesn't even need mowed, and I'll go out and I'll start mowing the lawn just to, because I love zoning out and listen to that personal development. So this is a little segment that really impacted me. It's just a few minutes long. Mr. Jim Rohn.
While the process of personal change is simple to explain, it's not easy to execute. It involves letting go of self-imposed limitations and giving equal attention to every part of our nature. In this session, Jim continues his discussion of the miracle process called personal development.
While we're talking about personal development and letting go of limitations, here are what I consider to be the biggest self-imposed limitations any man or woman has ever had to deal with. First, procrastination. Procrastination is particularly life-threatening because when we put something off, it doesn't seem at the moment to be all that important. At the end of the day, if you have let a few things slide, it doesn't seem like such a bad day. However, enough of those days piled up will make a disastrous year, and eventually, a disastrous life. Our inability to come to grips with a natural tendency to procrastinate will surely send us drifting in the wrong direction. Before you reach the final session of this program, you'll have left procrastination behind. If you're still troubled by it, you'll have discovered that it's simply too costly to put up with any longer. Besides, you'll be too excited about where you're going to postpone the activities taking you there. Self-imposed limitation number 2. Blame. All of us have blamed others for our troubles from time to time. In fact, the tendency to blame someone or something goes back a long way. When there were only 2 people on earth, it wasn't long before they started blaming. The man said, "It was the woman. She got me into this." And the woman blamed the serpent. Blame seems to be one of those negative tendencies that just comes naturally, the ego striving to defend itself. Remember the list I came up with to explain why I wasn't doing well? One of the items that was high on my list was prices. I told Mr. Schoaf that my problem was everything costs too much. However, he soon set me straight on that by saying, "Mr. Rohn, that is not the problem. Let me tell you the real problem. You can't afford it." It's not it. If you keep dealing in its, you will always be broke, unhappy, and disillusioned because you will never have enough. Don't deal in its. Deal in you. When I finally learned to change my thinking from it to me, I changed my whole life. What a life-changing experience to finally meet someone who doesn't hesitate to put it on you or on your tendency to indulge in blame or procrastination. That is indeed a banner day when you meet someone who has learned how to skillfully and carefully attack the same problem that has kept you from doing very well, or kept you beneath your potential, or kept you off balance as to your own self-worth. It is so easy to mistake appearances for reality, to confuse the symptom with the real cause. Along with blame comes the third negative tendency we want to eliminate: excuses. Guess how many excuses we have? A million. And in the course of a lifetime, we will probably use them all, unless somebody finally comes along and blows all those excuses apart to make us come face to face with the real reasons for our current dilemma. Until that time, we will probably use another million excuses to prevent ourselves from having $1 million. Here's one of the major questions I'll pose to you during this program. What are you going to do starting today that will make a difference in how your life works out? Good question, right? What are you going to do? See, if you don't do something starting today that will make a difference, guess what? It's going to be the same. And you can guess what the next 5 years are going to be like. Just look at the last five. The next 5 years will be like the last five unless you, Major Key, make all the changes.
Imagine what you can become by simply changing what you listen to. You know, just that little segment, if you listen to that enough times, you could really build a little stronger philosophy to guard you from some of the most common excuses made. The third thing that helps shape our philosophy is the things that we see. Did you know this, that a pair of human eyes can handle more data at a higher rate than all the supercomputers in the world combined? But what do we use our eyes for? Be careful what you look at, because your mind records all that. Choose wisely the things that you see, and don't miss the rainbows of life by focusing on only the rain. And that's why you're here today at an event like this. Think about the influence an event like this could have on your life, because you're hearing, you're seeing, you're associating. Look for opportunities to improve your skills and inspire your mind. The fourth thing, the people that you associate with. This could be one of the biggest of them all. Your associations, the people you hang with. And I'm not talking just the friends that you might have, but I'm talking your family and your spouse and everything that influences you as far as people go. Let me tell you a quick story just kind of to show the power of association. In this business, again, an unfair advantage that I as a leader have is my associations. I get to hang out with all the other platinums and all the other millionaire club members, and those things shape my life. So I bought a boat, and I had saw Dave Savula's boat. One of the reasons I bought a boat is I had this piece of crap boat, and I saw Dave Savula had a picture at a convention of his boat, and he said, that's my new boat. And I said, oh, man, it was a nice boat. And I said, that's your boat? He goes, that's one of my three boats. So that immediately gave me permission to buy one nice boat, okay? If he's got three, I'm going to get one. So my wife wasn't that excited about getting a boat, especially $45,000. I had to save it up in a little jar or whatever. But finally the day came, I bought my boat. And she was like, you're spending all of that money on the boat? I said, all of it. I've saved it. It's something I love. I love boating. But I mean, she doesn't mind going out on the boat. She's not in the inner tube, in the skiing, and the stuff like that. She'll be out there maybe once a month. I'm out there twice a week, that kind of a thing. But the kids love it. I was excited. So we show up as a family. We're unloading the boat into the water. And it's the dealer probably put $10 of gas in it. So it's time to fill it up. And I pull up to this little pump on the marina. And I learn later, it's kind of expensive down there, about $5 a gallon on the water. It's better to just fill it up before you get to the water. But I was brand new. I mean, this was new. I was excited. So I started pumping the pump, and the thing starts going like that. And we have a big 15-seater van, and it'll hold $100. But all of a sudden, this thing went past 120, 130, 140. And about that time, I'm starting to look around to make sure I put it in the gas hole Because I'm thinking, I was looking for the rainbow, you know, on the water, thinking, I hope this is in the right hole here, because that's a lot of gas. And my wife, about the time it hit $200, says, how much gas does this thing hold? And I said, I have no idea. It's a brand new boat. I mean, we're just kind of experiencing this together. And I'm thinking, I hope it stops soon, you know. About $220, it stops and clicks off. I didn't top it off. I just put it there. No, and then of course my wife says, how far can you go on that much gas? I said, Jennifer, we just got it. I have no idea. I didn't read the book. We're in this together. So that was kind of an experience. Now about 3 weeks later, I'm in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Resort, and Mr. Jeff Olson, the author of The Slight Edge, is there. And he brought his yacht to the Atlantis Resort. And he invites all the millionaires and some other key leaders out on his yacht for kind of a dinner cruise to drive around the Bahamas in his yacht. And so we're out there with all the leaders. This is his yacht, a lot bigger than my boat. My boat's about the size of the anchor. He's got four people that live full-time on his yacht. His captain, his stewardess, his chef all live on the yacht full time. So once a month when he wants to go out and do something, they're there ready to help him. And so this is actually a real picture of me. This is, I show up somewhere right here with a hat on. And my wife's sitting there with me. Maybe that's us. I can't see it in this picture. But we're on this yacht. One of my team members took a picture of us with this backdrop of the Atlantis Resort. Really an awesome experience. And I'm on this yacht, and we're out there on a dinner cruise, and it is unbelievable. And I took the opportunity. I'm sitting right here with Jeff Olson. I said, Jeff, just a quick question. How much does it take to fill up this boat? Fuel? And I was not ready for the answer. He said, I just filled it up. It was $65,000. Now, since that moment, my wife has never, ever mentioned anything about a $200 boat gas bill. In fact, when I'm filling my boat up now, I ask, does anyone else need fuel before I hang it up? It just was a huge paradigm shift to me of the power of leveraging your income and what the potential is. And really, that's not one of my goals, to have a boat. But again, those associations are powerfully impactful on your life. Associations, find people who've done what you want to do and surround yourself with them. So think about this. Who am I around? What are they doing to me? What do they have me doing? What do they have me reading? What do they have me thinking? What do they have me saying? What do they have me becoming? You got to be very careful with your associations. Choose your associations wisely. And here's why. Broke people will give you advice. Financial advice. I always think of Bubba sitting in his trailer, his mobile home, in his underwear, eating Fruit Loops. That's kind of how I visualize him. He'll give you financial advice if you let him. But if you buy his advice, you also buy his lifestyle. So you got to be careful about who you listen to in life and who you might associate with. Okay, so those are the four things that shape our philosophy. And there's some other things that probably contribute to that. But those are the main things that you want to be aware of. So my philosophy is taking me somewhere. Here's a big question. Where? Where are you heading? Where are you going? I like that last segment we just listened to by Mr. Rohn, because it talks about, you know, if you don't change your philosophy, your next 5 years are going to be pretty much like your last five. And you don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be frustrated about that, because if you're not doing the inputs that are necessary to change, you should expect the same results. You know, it'd be silly to expect different results if you're doing about the same thing you've always done. So that was huge for me. That was a monumental point in my business when I said, hey, I can't expect my business to get better, my income to increase, my team to grow, my, you know, all of these things to happen if I don't do things different than I'm doing now. And that's continued to drive me to improve and to get better and to be better all the time. So the last thing I want to share with you today is, as we close up, three things that winners always do. And again, I look at you in this room as a room full of winners. It's my privilege to be here with you, to associate with you, to be part of this group, because you're the ones that don't make excuses. And many of these characteristics I talk about here will fit you. It's what got you to where you are. It's what got you in the business. And I'm so excited that you're in the business, because there's some people that are not in the business, and they don't have the same chance that you have over the next 3 to 5 years to change their life like you do. They'll miss it. They'll miss that incredible opportunity, but you're here. I want to commend you on that. One thing that winners always do is they dream big. And some of you might want to increase your dreams a little bit. But they not only dream big, but they learn how to protect their dream. And this is a little quick little video segment from the movie Pursuit of Happiness, where Will Smith played Chris Gardner. And if you haven't seen that movie, the movie is phenomenal, because it takes away a lot of any excuse that you'll ever have. He's trying to sell, he's out there playing. In this scene, he's playing ball with his son. His son's excited. He's shooting the basketball. And then he realizes that his son's wasting his time, because he's saying, you know, I wasn't a good basketball player, and I wasted a lot of time. You're not going to be a good basketball player. You're wasting a lot of time. And it sets up this scene where he then understands that he's definitely misguided his son, that just because he wasn't good at it doesn't mean the son's not going to be good at it. And he corrects himself, and I'm going to let you listen to that.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. Right? You got a dream. You got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They're going to tell you you can't do it. Something, go get it. Period.
All right. So, some key things from that: don't let somebody tell you you can't do something. Some of us are tuned into that and listening to that. You got to turn that channel off quickly. If you have a dream, you must protect it. When people can't do something themselves, they want to tell you you can't do it. And I love that last line: if you want something, go get it. Period. And that is something that winners always do. Also, winners take action. You know, they don't just sit around and dream. They take action in making their dreams a reality. We saw some of those philosophy statements where it requires actions to have the growth and the things that you want in your business. You've got to take action. There were three birds on a wire, and one of them decided to fly away. How many were left? Three. Yeah. Because he had a plan to fly away, and he had a goal to fly away, and he probably even wrote it all down, he didn't fly away. He just sat there with the other two birds, and nothing changed in his life. So be a bird that takes action. Be a person that takes action. You came here today. Hopefully you've gathered some information that'll motivate you to move your business to the next level. Take action in that. Winners always take action. Winners understand that they are in full control of their future. Instead of blaming others, they choose to take responsibility for where they are, who they are, and what they have. Winners get set goals and develop an action plan for success. I love the word action plan. When I sit down with a new associate, I like setting goals. I like kind of talking about their why, but what I really like talking about is their action plan. Because that's what separates them from most people, is where they take action in our business and actually go do something. It's easy to sit around and talk about it. There's no rejection in that. If you wrote your goals down today, there's no rejection there. The pen doesn't stop writing. You're like, oh man, I can't write my goals anymore. There's very little rejection in writing it down. But there sure is a lot of rejection when you get out there and start talking to people and facing rejection, or someone on your team quits, or someone decides not to get involved, or a producer on your team quits. Those are tough things that we deal with in our business, and we have to be prepared for that. But winners build fortunes and change their lives and the lives of the people around them. Winners take action. Winners do. Winners go. Winners show up. And because they do, go, and show up, they grow. Winners grow, and winners become something different. This is the last little clip I want to show, and it's from the movie Invictus. And this is This was one of my favorite movies, too. Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela. And this little clip here is this Matt Damon, who's playing a rugby captain, visits the cell that Mandela was in for 27 years. And he's kind of remembering 27 years in prison and how he came out still to be a strong leader. Had no excuses, and Morgan Freeman quotes the poem here, Invictus. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this, that you are also unconquerable. You are the master of your fate, and you are the captain of your soul. Your future is in your hands. You can decide whatever you want to be in life and have anything you want in life. And it's been, again, a privilege to be here with you. The last thing that I think leaders and winners do is they finish. And there was a man that walked by a furniture store one day, and in the window of the furniture store he saw a sign that said, Finishers Wanted. Now, I'm sure in the furniture business there's a great need for finishers, but isn't that a sign that could apply almost anywhere in life? Finishers wanted. The world has an ample supply of starters, but a finisher is a rare breed. And I would challenge you, as you might be starting your business here at Prepaid Legal, be a finisher. There's no value in going around and starting things and never finishing it. One of the reasons I have had the success I've had is I've not quit. I'm still in the business. I still am reaping the rewards of things that I've planted years and years earlier. So finishers are wanted. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. And then last, I want to share this. Your success depends on what you settle for. And don't settle for table scraps when you can own the whole palace. And I assure you this, that the future of our business is incredibly bright. The next few years are going to be unbelievable. We'll have never experienced anything that we're going to experience in the next few years. If you've not planned to be in Dallas, change that plan today. Be in Dallas for the rollout of that event. That will be life-changing for everyone there. I appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here with you, to share these thoughts with you. I commend you on your success thus far and wish you great success in the future. God bless each one of you.
Come on back up here. Give it up for Mr. Richards, guys. All right. We have a little gift for Mr. Riches. I don't even mute by you guys, but I just feel like so inspired and almost unworthy to be in his presence. Seriously, I mean, what this guy has done in this business, I'm trying to think of another person in Prepaid Legal that's done the same on a personal production level and then done the same on a team production level. I mean, he has the number one recruiter in the entire company right now. He has the number one producer in the entire company right now. Then if you looked at the top 10, he's got numerous people in both columns. So, I mean, the guy is a finisher. The guy is a doer. And I got just tons and tons of pearls of wisdom from him today. One of the things we know he and his wife love to do is go to movies. And so we got him 2 coupon books. Movie passes, your refreshments, everything for you and your wife.
Thank you.
Give it up for Mr. Richards. Thank you. All right, I'm also really, really, really giddy right now. Some of you might, and I apologize if I was distracting you, but I was passing my phone up and down the front row showing the leaders a text that just came in from a huge person that I've been trying to get here forever, but I'll save that for later. Anyhow, so... okay, so here's a 60-day game plan, and it's all going to come together. It's all following me here. So you've got August to go out there and work as hard as you can, building your business, okay? And then in September, what's a major event we have in September? We got Dallas. And then October, and I'm going to put it in. Now, in September, we're going to have our Super Saturday on September 3rd. Now, there's a reason why I chose September 3rd. What is going to be rolled out in Dallas is so critical. I didn't want to do it the week after Dallas and have some of your new people show up and not have the same experience as the people who are going to be in Dallas. Every year I'm recruiting people a week or two before the big event, and they're just saying, I'm in. Whose car can I go in? Whose car can I go in? If I get a big person here on the 3rd, and they join your team, I want them in your car or on a plane that week and going to Dallas with you, versus them sign up on the 3rd. Nobody paints the vision for them, and therefore they don't go. They miss the opportunity, and now we're trying to re-explain it to them. It's not the same. We come back. Now, we'll do a recap, but it's going to be at our weekly builders training. You're going to get all the recap stuff the week after Dallas, but it ain't going to be like being there. It's like you going to the Super Bowl and watching it versus opening the newspaper and reading the score. Oh, 21-17. That was neat. It's not the same. You will tell your grandchildren about the game you went to. You can't even remember who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. If you were there, you would always know that date. You would always know the big event. So we're bringing in someone on this date to help you get people here for this date. Couple things that I got from Mr. Riches today. Conservative estimate, we're going to take what we've done in the last 40 years and compress it into the next 3 to 4 years. But there's going to be a compressed time frame here that is going to blow some people up. I mean, going from $1,500 a month to $15,000 a month in less than a year, that changes a lot in your life. I mean, apartment to a house, houses, it changes the food you eat, the cars you drive, the zip code you live in. It changes a lot of things out there. Some of you might be there right now in that $1,500 a month lifestyle that Mr. Richards was talking about. I can tell you what $15,000 a month is like, but you won't believe it. You can't. I remember being there. That was my paycheck, $758.51 every 2 weeks when I was introduced to prepaid legal, and that comes out to $1,500 a month. So he and I were right on course together. And you can fathom making double what you're making now. So if you're making $2,000 a month, you can see yourself making four. You're like, I can understand making that. But someone says $20,000, you're like, that ain't real. Ain't real. So
some things are going to happen to some people in this room. It's not just going to change your life. It's going to take change generations of lives. Those 10 kids are growing up in an entirely different world because he made a decision. An entirely different world. And when he is gone from this face of this earth, that business keeps growing. Somebody gets to keep using that income to do good. I hope he puts me in that someone list. Looking for an 11th kid? I'm low maintenance. But it's as simple as making a decision. Now, last month I wasn't here. I was on a trip with my family, and Mr. Burns told you about an incredible leader that we had coming in, Mr. Gene Leiter. Very, very good friend of mine, six-figure income earner, just powerful guy. We've had him here before a few years ago. It was time to bring him back. And all of a sudden, Mr. Rich's schedule came available. And he said, I can be there on August 6th. And I already had Mr. Leiter booked, everything ready. But I'd been trying to get Mr. Rich's here for years. And so I called Mr. Leiter. I said, listen, don't kill me, but would you be willing to step aside for 1 month and bump back a little bit so that I can have my cake and eat it too? Get Mr. Riches and you in here. And Mr. Leiter was like, you know what, Dave? There's no ego here. If Mr. Riches can make it to that marketplace, you know my schedule. I'm flexible and I'm a good friend. I'll do whatever you want. Bump me to September. So, next month we have September 3rd. Put on your calendar, Mr. Gene Leiter coming in here to build your event. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a big emphasis on getting to Dallas. Okay, a big emphasis. He's got an incredible story about going to his first event and then his life changing, his business changing. And I can tell you from personal experience that I went to my first event on this momentum roll. Not me or anyone on my team had sold one membership for 4 solid months. And my upline called me and said, you got to get to Vegas. That was where the event was. And I told my wife, won't let me go. I ain't got the money. Prepaid legal ain't working out. Nobody will buy a membership. I've talked to everybody. No one wants to do the business. I can't get people to sign up. If I volunteer to pay for their service, I can't get them to sign up. My philosophies were so jacked up, I was failing. But it was me. I got to that event, and I came out of that. Keep in mind, my entire team, not one sale recruit for 4 months. Not only I was jacked up, but I was sowing the seeds of despair and destruction on my team, and none of them were selling. I changed me at that event. Came out of that event, and 3 months later, was an executive director with over 200 new associates on my team, making over $5,000 a month, and then it's gone up from there. Amazing how one event changed me. Once I was changed, I could share good philosophies instead of broke philosophies, and that then, a few years later, created six-figure income earner, the ring, the millionaires club, and so on and so forth. But it was the event. It was the big picture. And that's why I don't want to sell the big picture the week after the picture's over. I want to make sure you guys understand. And you will have people that will show up here just to check this thing out. They will just be here to kick the tires out of a courtesy favor to get you to stop guilting them to come check this out. And they'll say, you know what? I get it. It clicked today. Who's going to Dallas? I'll drive with you guys. I'm going. And that person could be the next Mark Riches. Could you imagine what that could do over the next few years income-wise? One person deciding to go to a big event. So that's this schedule. Then, and here's why you want to have as many people as you can here to parlay in this. Because the very first event coming out of there, on October 8th, I believe it is. Just got a text during this event from Darnell Self, confirming he's going to be here.
Hold on. That ain't it. It gets better. Here's what he said. He says, we are confirmed. Mr. Humes may be coming with me too. For those of you that were in Arizona, that big event with Mr. Humes, you know how powerful this is. So, I sat down real quick and I wrote out, you know that old analogy? If you had a penny and you doubled it every day for a month, or you got $1 million today, which one you would take? And obviously anyone who's done the math and ran it all out knows that a penny doubled every day for 30 days comes out to $10,737,418.24. That's one penny. But how does that penny doubling every day feel after a week? After a week, you have 64 cents. Feels like it ain't working, huh? You can't even buy a Happy Meal for 64 cents. And you're a quarter way into this month, and you got 64 cents. See, momentum takes some time to get going. And so, I see Mr. Self and Mr. Hume showing up on this day here. And normally, I never tell you about the Super Saturday 2 months down the road. I said, look, this is the only next event. That's all there is. This is the only thing we're talking about today. But I'm going to give some of you a 60-day head start for this event. And if you can take an extra 5 to 10 people to this event, what's going to happen here when Mr. Humes and Mr. Self show up to this event? So, that's the only reason I'm giving you a sneak peek at 60 days down the road. Now, back to the pearls Mr. Richie shared with us. The compressed time frames. But another key he said is, I have never, ever missed an event. Can you say that, since you joined Prepaid Legal, that you've never missed an event? What if everyone on your team could honestly say, I've never missed an event? Could you even imagine what life would be like? How many people do you have on your team that if they were here today and they saw this information, that would change their life? It was the puzzle piece they needed to hear today. We may go years before we have a training like that again. How critical. They were probably here last Saturday and they said, I'm going to try to make it next month. And they walked out of here saying, I'm going to try. And it was that try that left the opportunity for not coming. And today they woke up and thought, oh, it's a sunny day, I need to mow the lawn. And they're not here. I never, ever, ever leave an event with the opportunity, with the door open, to miss the next one. It's closed shut. It's like, sorry, I already walked out of there with my ticket. I am in. Because remember, it's the seed you sow. So how many seeds are you going to sow? Now, I know based on looking what happened at the sign-in table, there was a lot of people that bought tickets when they walked into this event today. Which simply tells me a lot of people made the right decision today to show up here. But it also tells me that last month, they didn't make the decision at the proper time and left it a chance. And every time we leave an event and we say, I'll try to make it next month, there's a chance you will and a chance you won't. And I'm going to just beg you, don't be that person. Don't leave anything up here to chance. Because you're going to watch good friends of yours go a whole different direction in life in the next 3 to 4 years as these compressed time frames come together. You're going to go, I was there with them. I was there with them. When they were broke, I was broke, and we went to the event together, broke. We slept on the hotel room floor together, broke. And now they're getting their $100,000 ring, and I'm still same place I was before Jim Rohn talked about procrastination. How it destroys good-intended people. I'll do it next month. Next month's going to be better for me financially, so I'll do that whole thing you talked about, Dave, next month. Winners are always in full control. So I know there's someone in here going, you all know that I'm going to give you the chance to get 5 tickets for the price of 4. And some of you are going to go, well, I'll just get my 5 this month for next month. That compounding penny, you wait 1 month. 1 month from now, your compounding penny is over $10 million. If you start this month, you start the first of next month, you are at one penny and someone's at $10 million. The difference between someone saying, I'm going to have five people here next month, and then those five getting their five tickets at this event, maybe 10 tickets, 20 tickets, to come to this event, versus this person saying, well, I'm buying one ticket to this event, and I'll buy one ticket to that event. Because that's what I've done for the last 3-4 months in a row, is I bought one ticket to each event. And then they scratch their head and say, why am I always coming to this event alone? Versus coming back with a team, and then a section, and then a room full of people. The reason I gave you a sneak peek at October is some people are going to make a decision in August to have a ton of people here in September. And when they hear that Mr. Humes and Mr. Self are here, they're going to have the ability to fill up this room. I mean, I look at the St. George studs that, you know, all the people from St. George, where are you guys at? I mean, it wasn't just a few months ago. We had one or two people here from St. George. Now we got carloads of people coming up from St. George, and that's only going to grow and grow and grow. But when word gets out that Michael Humes and Darnell Self are coming here, this is all the seats we're going to have. But I guarantee you, Colorado's going to want in on this. New Mexico's going to want in on this. My good bud Mr. Murphy in Las Vegas, he's going to be like, send me 150, 200 tickets, Dave. I'm selling them at my event. Boise's going to be trucking in people. Everywhere around us is going to want a section of tickets. And whatever isn't sold to you guys is going out of state. And we're going to pack this place. And when the tickets are sold out, the tickets are sold out. I don't want Nevada taking up half this room because our people said, well, give me a ticket. I'll try. No, I'll just wait and see if they're available at the door, because they ain't going to be available at the door. They're going to be sold out long before this event ever gets here. You guys get a sneak peek. They're not getting a sneak peek. I'm not going to send out the emails to the other states until this event shows up. After this event, they'll get what's left. But you have 30 days now to start doubling that penny every single day, to start doing those exposures, to start building that team, to put it in place. There are some people out there that can go get their six-figure ring in the next 6 months with the explosion that we're going to have moving forward with the combination of what's happening in Dallas and what's happening here through the end of the year. And I can't even tell you about November and December. It'll freak you out. There'll be a raid on the drugstore for sleeping pills tonight, because you guys won't be able to sleep if we tell you any more than what we told you already. So here's your action plan that I'm going to invite you to take if you're serious and you're a finisher. Finishers wanted. You can get a ticket and come back alone. But you can get five for the price of four. And I heard some say, Dave, I tried that 3 months ago. I got five for the price of four and only found one other person that would come. It's like, I tried that. Gave out a DVD 2 years ago. Guy didn't even watch it. Then you keep giving out more. It's the seeds you sow. It's the number of seeds you sow. Five for the price of four. In other words, you're basically getting in free. You get four recruits between now and then, or four people on your team that didn't come here. I don't know how it looks, but you don't want these people to miss out on what's going to happen the next 60 days, the next 90 days in the state of Utah with your team. You're either going to be participating or you're going to be a spectator watching it from the sideline. Thank you all for showing up today. Tickets are available at the sign-in table while they're available. Everybody have a good day. We'll see you September 3rd.